Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my Lady of Excellence, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And Hag Pesach Sameach to all during this Passover season. So, let's give him much thanks for being our Passover Lamb of God.
Oh Lord, we are so grateful for our salvation that we cherish and cling to, knowing that no man can take us out of your righteous right hand. Your grace and mercy exceeds all the stars of heaven and all the sand pebbles in all the oceans. May we be found worthy when the last trump sounds. We pray for our unsaved loved ones and pray you consider the healing needs of those who are called by your name. Give your wisdom to our president and may he hear your voice above all others. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen. And I want to thank you for all your kind notes saying that you're praying for our family member, Thomas, who is a believer and is making small but positive steps. Still, we do need a miracle as it was a massive stroke.
Yeah, and he's only 48.
So we do appreciate your prayers and know they are being received by our Father.
Amen. We are currently in the season of Passover.
We certainly are, and the single day of Passover was Saturday at sundown to sundown on Sunday the 13th, which then began the 7 days of unleavened bread and the Feast of First Fruits, which must always be on a Sunday, this year the 20th, Leviticus 23:11, which converges this year with the traditional Easter. And if you want to know more information on the spring feast, go to shofarministries.net, where just last year we did a 4-week detailed series in our radio archives section.
If you haven't studied the feast, we encourage you to do so.
They're just phenomenal to see just how exactly Jesus fulfills the Passover and also to see the historical application of when they came out of Egypt after applying the blood and partaking of the sacrificed lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
Maybe some just need a review.
I would think they might. And again, it's on our radio archives from last year. And it's also written in notes that are available on our webpage. No computer? Your local library has lots of them and will assist you.
Okay, time for the news.
Yes, but let's first begin with this Bible verse that gives a warning to everybody, and it's from Proverbs 16:18.
Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
I think we can say that we're all concerned that President Trump has an ego problem, which has been his flaw probably forever. And I only say that to encourage the body of Christ to pray that he is made aware of that and heartfully addresses it. With that said, we often hear him recognize Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and we are grateful for that. I think of last year when Biden made Easter Sunday Trans Recognition Day. So yes, thank you, Jesus, for President Trump, and we pray thy will be done over your servant. Amen.
Yeah, ego, easing God out, especially in the light of Jeremiah 30:11.
Oh yeah, which we have talked about often, how God says he will make a full end of all the nations where the Jews have been scattered.
America fits that bill.
We know that will happen. The question is, before or after the rapture?
I believe after.
And I believe with you. So again, let's all pray that he humbles himself and does it quickly.
Okay, on to Israel.
Yes, the land that we love and will one day reside. Many feel that Israel is itching to attack Iran's nuclear sites. Therefore, is cautioning President Trump about making any deal because Iran will not honor it. And instead, they would secretly continue with its goal.
And Israel is right.
But Bibi knows about Ezekiel 38, but wants to delay that as long as possible, even though the scripture clearly says God will step in for Israel.
Even so, the talks will continue this Saturday.
And this time it'll be in Rome. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, Iran watches as the United States adds military forces, ships, and stealth bombers into the region while threatening more sanctions, which could stop the flow of its oil to China, further hurting its economy.
And China's too, actually.
Well, some good news is that the Panama Canal is reportedly flowing quite nicely, as American ships are now able to travel through swiftly and for free, and allowing our own rather robust security to be present, especially since China is building many tunnels and one underneath the southern end of the canal.
China also has many other projects in the making.
Oh, they do, as in more bridges and other infrastructures. And back to Iran, another point to remember about its leadership is that they are getting ready to install the 12th Imam. And that will be an incarnation of, I guess, Allah in the flesh, which means they know it is the final days that must end with a world war as in Armageddon, but Allah steps in to save them. Do you see how Satan twists what God will do and make it his own?
So, Iran wants World War III?
Well, that's what their ideology says must happen. So they don't care about dying for Allah, for Allah will bring them back, which is the reason they fuel all their proxies.
So, to hit both Satans all at once.
Yes. The little Satan, Israel, and the big Satan, they say, is America.
But if you are the bride, you'll miss it all.
Oh, and praise the Lord for that. And good news for Israel is that Hezbollah has finally withdrawn from 190 of its 209 military positions in southern Lebanon and will finish soon. Then only Lebanese police and the UN will be doing surveillance, so to keep it that way.
Who trusts the UN?
Not me.
But, you know, Gaza continues to be a hotbed.
But Israel is winning, but Hamas says they will not release all the hostages or totally disarm, as is called for in any real ceasefire deal. So on it goes.
And sadly, Russia continues to bomb key areas of Ukraine.
He appears to be stalling any ceasefire, and Trump is not happy at all, especially since Witkoff just met with Putin for 4.5 hours, and the public knows not what really occurred.
And President Trump met with the El Salvador president yesterday.
Yes, who get along noticeably very well, as he has reduced El Salvador's crime rate by 75% since he came to office in 2019, and that was while Trump was still president. And they became very friendly. Therefore, is taking our deportees as probably a favor to us. Anyhow, we must move on.
Okay, we welcome your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net or call the office, leaving a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are more than appreciated, which will include you in our monthly newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and newsletters archived for your learning pleasure. All right, last week we got through Daniel 11 up to verse 36.
Yes, and amazingly, in verses 1 through 35, approximately 135 prophetic statements have been counted. That's an impressive introduction to the section which follows. So we left off last week with Antiochus Epiphanes, also called Antiochus the Fourth, and his demise by the Maccabees.
He was a type of the future Antichrist.
Yes. So the remainder of this chapter, verses 36 through 45, does yield a number of diverse views. Some have attempted to restrict the passage by keeping it meant only to the historical Antiochus the Fourth. And while his megalomania lends itself to such views, the language seems to go far beyond that.
Some wrongfully identify the words willful king as Constantine the Great.
Yes, and Rashi and Calvin understood him to represent the whole Roman Empire. But Jerome, Luther, Darby, and most pre-trib scholars see these verses as a man we term the Antichrist, and is similar to other prophetic passages, as in 2 Thessalonians 2, where he's referred to as the lawless one and the son of perdition, labeling him as a human man.
According to the workings of Satan.
Yes, totally in Satan's hands. Other scriptures portray him as an intellectual genius.
A persuasive orator.
A shrewd political manipulator.
A successful commercial genius.
A forceful military leader.
A powerful organizer.
A unifying religious guru. In other words, a one-world religion organizer who will appoint a sidekick we call the false prophet to watch over it. So he will have all three attributes, political, economical, and also religious. As we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:4.
The son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
When we suggest that the next pope could be the Antichrist, if he has some Jewish blood, is because of Genesis 49, which says he will be descended from the tribe of Dan. Often people will say, oh no, he's not the Antichrist. You mean he'll be the false prophet? And although that might seem logical to many, the Antichrist wants it all. Just look at history. Many popes were both political and religious. Even their flag has those two keys of gold and silver. And we need to connect back to a similar way to when Christ died, to finish the prophecy of Daniel 9. Of course it will look different, but Rome has to be in charge somehow in some way, making major decisions, who will get more powerful as the tribulation continues, to where he finally sits in the temple and declares himself as God.
The false prophet will be like a lamb too.
Yes, but will point everyone's attention to worshiping the first beast.
Revelation 13.
And by the way, during the Dark Ages, there was basically only one religion till the Reformation in 1517.
When we're gone, history will repeat itself.
And there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9. So these last verses of Daniel 11 are detailed as happening in the latter years, meaning our generation, with a leader similar to Antiochus Epiphanes, but much worse.
We'll call him the Antichrist.
And verse 36 describes him as doing his own will with pride over the God of all the gods of all the false religions, speaking blasphemies. And this so-called king will prosper for a while until the wrath of God comes upon him. So, honey, please read verses 37 and 38.
He shall regard neither the God of his fathers.
Could be a reference to having some Jewish heritage because of Genesis 49 and also Deuteronomy 28.
Nor the desire of women.
Likely a sodomite.
Nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. But in their place he shall honor a god of fortresses.
The god of war, which is Satan.
And the god which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things.
So since I mentioned it, let's look at Deuteronomy 28. Which you all know prophesies what Israel will go through if they disobey, which they did. Let's read Deuteronomy 28, verse 64.
Then the Lord will scatter you among all peoples.
And that's the Assyrian and the Roman diasporas.
From one end of the earth to the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone.
So you see similar language in Daniel, which is just one reason I think he will have Jewish heritage. And then there is, as we said, Genesis 49 that records Jacob's blessings on his 12 sons, with verse 16 speaking of the descendants of the tribe of Dan, who, by the way, was the first tribe to turn away from their God, as well carries the scales of judgment in the stars, or the Maseroth. And you could go further in that it matches up with the fall months, specifically the fall feasts. So let's read Genesis 49, verses 16 and 17.
Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heels, so that its riders shall fall backwards.
To me, that describes the Antichrist as a viper who deceives and makes people fall. Another interesting scripture is in Psalm 58, verses 3 and 4, which describes the wicked seed of the serpent and how it tells lies from the womb like poison that charms ever so skillfully. So obviously he's human, as he will be born, and is unknowingly already here.
By the way, there's a cardinal of Jewish descent.
Well, there is. His name is Michael Czerny, and not only is he a papal contender, he's also Pope Francis's favorite. Just something to keep in the back of your heads.
Could be meaningless.
Yes, but even still, the Antichrist is likely to be from the line of Dan, who went astray first by worshiping false gods. Also, our early church fathers taught that as well, especially Ephraim from 326 AD, of which we still have his writings. And next we see he will fight foreign enemies and will win, and divides the land for gain. One of those lands is Israel, for we know it will be divided again from Ezekiel 36, verse 5, and Joel chapter 2.
And the catalyst for God's final judgment.
Yes. You know, the Antichrist has about 50 titles, as I'll just give a few, like the Assyrian, which does not refer to him being a Muslim, but rather named after the much earlier wicked Assyrian leader, Sargon II, who took the northern Jews captive and then later scattered them.
The Antichrist will be of the same wicked seed.
And Micah 5 refers to him in the last days. So, has to be a title. Also, the King of Babylon. And even the coming wicked prince of Israel. That's definitely the Antichrist. But Revelation 13 makes it clear he will have all the attributes of all the empires represented by the seven horns, which would entail Egypt, because that was the first empire, then came Assyria, then Babylon, then the Medes and Persians, then Greece, and finally Rome.
Who will be revived.
Yep. According to Daniel chapter 2, we see the iron mixed with the clay feet, and we've gone over this, but we'll do it again. And that, of course, was the Nebuchadnezzar statue.
Do you want to clarify again what you think about the clay and the iron feet?
Yes. When Rome was in power, as shown by the iron legs, the common people had no say in it. They had to obey. But we see in the coming revived Roman rule, the clay,
which always represent people.
Yeah, therefore, those in the tribulation's economy and world religion, where they think that all and any road leads to God, they're going to be happy to join the iron. And actually, they're going to adhere for a while. But then later, the Antichrist, known as the beast, will destroy the one world religion called the harlot in Revelation 17:16, making it then mandatory for all to worship the beast only. and he will make an image of himself for all to worship, using, of course, modern technology, as in AI, to speak to all his followers at the same time, thanks to today's technology.
And only this generation has made that possible.
That's right. And that's the last, and I would say the most major sign. It had to be. So, continuing on, he is also called the Prince in Daniel 9:26.
And the beast, the dragon, Leviathan, little horn.
Son of the morning, spoiler, the destroyer, and many more. But most revealing is the reference to the seed of the serpent in Genesis 3:15. You know, where God says Satan will have a seed? The coming Antichrist will be the son of Satan.
And my guess is that he's alive and well.
And likely born sometime around the rebirth of the nation of Israel. You know, Satan just wanted to kind of get even. Because that's when, by the way, the end time clock started ticking, that last generation. Anyhow, Rome should begin playing a major role as we get closer. And as we said, the next meeting between Iran and the United States will be in Rome. That could mean something, and that's this Saturday. And incidentally, Iran's new foreign minister, Arachi, is meeting in Russia before Saturday. And also last week, Russia, Iran, and China held consultations at an expert level, they say.
What is their plan?
Well, I don't know, but you can bet they are cooking one up. So, we only have a minute left, so we have to go, but read this all over again, these last verses, especially verses 40 through 45, because they seem to outline the Armageddon scenario of that final conflict climaxing in Revelation 19. And Daniel's final chapter 12, which we will get into next time, continues with what I think is a clear description of the tribulation period, and then some time after that as well. It's a great chapter, so make sure you tune in, and if you miss it, you know that it's always up on our webpage, usually within a day. So let me ask you, is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says that you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into your spirit. And then let Jesus have dominion over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is, because there is no in between. And let me speak to you Christians out there. If it's not you, because I don't know if you'd be listening to this program if you were lukewarm, but you probably know someone who is lukewarm. It's really important that you talk to them. Tell them to get their act together. We're running out of time. People need to hear the gospel message. Also, tithe your time in God's word. It's the only way for real discernment that we all really need to have in these very last days. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, you're going to prosper in ways that you don't even realize. And that's, of course, Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.